When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is the Financial Exchange with Mike Armstrong and Barry Armstrong. Your exclusive look at business and financial news affecting your day, your city, your world. Stay informed and up to date about economic and market trends, plus breaking business news every day. This is the Financial Exchange with Mike Armstrong and Barry Armstrong.
It was about 3 weeks ago when we began talking about Archegos. It was a big family office, the Wang family. And now we have learned, Michael, that their losses have exceeded $10 billion. Good morning, everybody, by the way. It's Barry and Michael with you here on a Tuesday. This is the story that just never ends. It seems like the financial institutions have not learned their lesson. They can continue to repeat the lesson of 2008.
Yeah, in a new and different way here, but it's all comes down to one idea, which is leverage. And frankly, you know, this is just something where there are lessons to be learned here. Obviously, the banks themselves who lost billions and billions of dollars. UBS disclosed that they lost $774 million on the Archegos implosion. Japan's Nomura lost, $2.85 billion. Credit Suisse lost $5.5 billion. Morgan Stanley, almost $1 billion themselves. And again, what it came down to was all of these banks allowing Archegos Capital and the chief investment officer there, the CEO there, borrow a ton of money to go buy these. They weren't the stocks themselves. They were swaps that gave them exposure to these companies. But none of the banks seemingly knew that every other bank out there was doing the same thing, and that, you know, all of this exposure that they were giving them was really just across, you know, a few companies. And if those companies saw even a, you know, couple percent loss, that it would all come imploding. The only one that seemed to recognize what was happening there was Goldman Sachs, who somehow covered themselves almost entirely on this, which is just the most Goldman Sachs story that I've heard, because they always seem to get out before everybody else. But it is concerning. And, you know, where I look, if the big banks lose a few billion dollars, that's on them. I frankly don't really care, so long as it doesn't, you know, flow into
the financial. As long as they're not looking for a bailout.
Right. Yeah. As long as they're not looking for a bailout like they did in 08, 09, then that's on them. If the risk that they are taking is not going to, you know, make their bank implode and default on all of their obligations, then I don't care if they get hurt. What I do care about is that the individual investor who went and bought one of these stocks that, you know, Archegos was investing in, what were the big ones? Was it CBS and
Viacom?
When I go out and buy Viacom as a long-term investor, I have no idea the amount of leverage that is being used to purchase this stock by other investors. And quite frankly, I think that's a piece of information that I deserve to know. And I think the SEC should enforce that, and, you know, should mandate that in some way.
Well, you could say the same thing about shorting, Michael.
You could.
You
know, yeah,
you have no idea about shorting either.
Right. You know, I don't really know. I can make some estimates, but I don't really know how many, how much short interest there is in any one stock. I can insinuate it, and some of the banks put out some reports on short interest, but there's no way to definitively know on a day-to-day basis how much short interest there is. And so I think that's a realistic, I think that's a reasonable disclosure that should be required. How much leverage is there in the system, and how much leverage is there being applied to each individual stock?
Oil giant BP shares are down 0.5% despite the fact they said that it would boost their returns to shareholders after higher oil prices and strong trading results buoyed their first quarter earnings. So, you know, nobody likes paying $3 a gallon for gas or whatever it is we're paying, $2.80, $2.90. But there is some solace to be taken because it prevents us from buying as much oil from our enemies as we would if oil was trading at $30 a barrel.
Yeah, and where I was interested in BP's report, because I think, you know, most of us who have looked at a big oil company recognize that, yeah, their earnings are going to look more attractive when oil is trading at $60 a barrel compared to negative 27 or wherever it was. The interesting piece to me is how all of these oil companies are talking about renewables and a shift in their business. That's what I'm interested to hear from BP, Exxon, and Chevron. Clearly, the Biden administration is going to be pushing these companies and pushing the, you know, overall U.S. economy to shift towards renewables and away from big oil. And BP brought that up in their earnings. And that, you know, that could also be a piece of what is hurting their stock today, is that the company is aiming to reduce its oil and gas production by 40% by 2030 and been investing in, you know, offshore wind pretty significantly. Very unproven business models. And, you know, it's an oil giant that is trying to convert its business to whatever that new next energy strategy is globally. But I think it's fair to say, you know, across the globe, whether, you know, Joe Biden is successful in his plans to, you know, shift the American demand for fossil fuels, I think is one question, but I think it's pretty much baked in to every other country that BP, Exxon, and Chevron are going to be dealing with in the future. You know, the European Union is going to be making these pushes. The UK is. Most of the developed world is going to be, and China is going to be as well, pushing for, you know, more renewable energy. And what these companies are able to do and how painful that shift is going to be pretty fascinating.
Yeah. The virus is on its way out in the United States. It looks like I hate to, you know, curse ourselves, but I'd say by Memorial Day, we've got this thing largely in the rearview mirror, meaning new cases might be 10, 20,000 a day, if that, in the United States. That is not the case in many other parts of the world, Michael. The Biden administration saying they're going to ship 60 million vaccines. They're going to send, 60 million AstraZeneca vaccines doses to India, where the virus is raging. And from what I understand, in Brazil, the numbers per capita might be worse in Brazil than they are in India.
Yeah, a day late and a buck short. And look, I am fully on board with the idea that Americans, you know, we need to get ourselves vaccinated first and beef up our own production of these vaccines to be able to export them to other nations. I'm on board with that approach, and I don't think that we should be giving that up in order to, vaccinate other countries first.
But we weren't going to use these AstraZeneca vaccines
anyway. We've been sitting on 60 million doses of AstraZeneca that have been just sitting in a refrigerator because we won't approve the thing. And look, I'm fine.
You know
with
who's
that.
Giving them? You know who's giving India more vaccines than we are? China,
Pakistan. Even the Pakistanis are helping out India, and these two countries have hated each other for a generation. Look, it's good that we're doing something, but we've now reached the stage where states are reaching out to the federal government and saying that they have an excess of supply of these vaccines, and so, frankly, I think, you know, the measures that have been taken, which have included, you know, giving raw ingredients to the different countries to be able to produce their own vaccines, you know, teaching a man to fish while his boat's on fire isn't terribly helpful, right? Give them the vaccines, worry about their ability to produce the vaccines on their own at a later date. You're not going to be able to do that when your hospitals are overflowing with COVID patients.
Right. What's the significance of the Biden administration ordering a $15 minimum wage for federal contractors? I can't imagine that there's any person working for a federal contractor that's making less than $15 an hour.
Not the one that's cleaning the office?
Yeah, they make less than $15 an hour.
I don't know. I've never interviewed one.
My cleaning lady makes $35 an hour.
So
I'd be willing. Cash tax free. I just put that out there.
I'd be willing to bet that you know, there are some government employees that are working for less than $15 an hour. I don't know how many there are. At this stage, though, I mean, you know, other than a few areas of the country, you've got now the federal government that's offering $15 an hour as a starting wage. You've got Costco, Target, and Amazon offering a $15 minimum wage. I have no idea what the minimum wage is at, you know, some of the other largest employers. I know that Walmart is only 11, so that's, you know, that's quite a bit lower. Mm-hmm. But it's tough to envision a scenario where there's a huge chunk of the population that's working for less than $15 an hour, even without a minimum wage shift at this stage.
Well, and I would say to you, if you're making less than $15 an hour, what the hell's wrong with you? I mean, you are worth more than $15 an hour. And if you're not, well, you know, that's I guess another problem that has to be addressed. But I was kind of surprised Tucker put it in the stack anyway. Also,
it's pretty significant news.
Just ignore this?
The federal government is mandating a $15 minimum wage for the single largest employer in the country.
Yes. Yes, I should not have included that in our news cycle.
You are forgiven.
How dare I?
I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm a very benevolent man. The other story that begs discussion is... What? Biden is forming a task force to explore ways to help labor. Oh, yeah. Well, that's great. He thinks Joe Biden is so out of touch. He thinks that people want to join unions. Doesn't the Amazon story tell you that? No, we don't want to join a union.
I think that tells us that few thousand workers in Alabama don't want to join that union. I mean, Barry, we talked about this before. I mean,
unions are corrupt criminal organizations. I mean, how many times do we have to learn? You know, how many pension funds have to be embezzled by union officials before we figure out that unions aren't good for workers?
I am completely with you there that the history of, you know, auto workers unions and several other unions embezzling funds and taking advantage of their own members is just rife with all sorts of issues. But don't tell me that the police union and the, you know, the firefighter union and the pipe fitters union don't overwhelmingly vote over and over again in favor of those unions and strongly support them. I mean, I think that it's more nuanced than that.
Mike, you play hockey with some cops. Talk to them. Talk to them about how they feel about being in a police union and what all the good things that the union does for the police officers. And you know what you'll get is a very resentful stare. They work 4 hours a month for the union officials, and they feel most cops that I talk to anyway, they don't like the union. They feel they get very little value out of the union.
Text the show at 63566 because Barry and I disagree on this. Clearly, if you are a member of a union, I would love to hear from you on what your own take is on it. And look, I am with you. The what you saw from the automakers union for the last 100 years has been fraught with fraud and all sorts of problems. But
look at all the pensions funds that are going bust right now, Mike.
Completely with you. Completely with you on all of that. And frankly, I don't know what the White House is going to be able to substantially do to promote labor unions. They're kind of all just throwing up their hands, but we'll see. And I just would disagree with you that those who belong to unions hate those unions. I don't see that at all.
Well, maybe some of our listeners will chime in. Again, our text number 63566. Trivia, by the way, is up next on the Financial Exchange.
This is your home for the latest business and financial news in New England and around the country. This is the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
A major concern for most retirees is how to protect your assets from the estate tax. Hi, this is Chuck Zotta from the Armstrong Advisory Group. While the federal estate tax exemption was increased to nearly $12 million via the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, President Biden's tax plan proposes reducing the exemption amount to $3.5 million, the same level it was at back in 2009. In addition, the president's plan would raise the top estate tax rate to 45%. So how will these proposed changes affect your estate? We've written a brand new guide for the month of April that'll break it all down for you. It's called the Biden Tax Plan, Fact or Fiction, and it'll walk you through these proposals as well as several other potential adjustments to the federal tax code. Call 800-393-4001 right now and get your free guide today. That's 800-393-4001. You can also download it from our website, armstrongadvisory.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC and advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Charles Zada, representative. Armstrong Advisory Group and the Securities America companies are unaffiliated.
Wall Street's volatility has been off the charts over the last 2 years, but markets have still reached record highs. Will we see more growth this year? Stay with us for breaking business news all morning long, only here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Trivia is brought to you by Southern Airways Express. You can now get to Nantucket from Hanscom Field off of 128. It's a great deal. This week in music history, what famous album topped the U.S. Billboard chart for the first time, beginning a run of over 700 consecutive weeks on the chart for over 15 years? That's unbelievable. Anyway, if you know the answer to that question, text it to us at 63566. Include the keyword iFly in your answer, and you'll be entered to win 2 round-trip tickets to Nantucket. And if you win today's contest, you are also going to receive a $50 gas card, compliments of the Armstrong Advisory Group. Again, our text number is 63566. This week in music history, what famous album topped the U.S. Billboard chart for the first time, beginning a run of over 700 consecutive weeks on the chart for over 15 years? It was a good album. Anyway, let's get back to our dialogue as it relates to unions. I mean, I don't know. Did we hear anything on the text line, Michael, as it relates to unions?
Statistically significant, 2 votes on the union discussion. 1 U.S. postal worker who was voluntarily in the union for 5 years left when they lost respect for the contract negotiation skills. He saved himself or herself $800 a year. Mm-hmm. Another text from 508. These are both from 508. Professional firefighter with the International Association of Firefighters always has our back. Good. So 50-50 split, Barry.
Yeah. Well,
text us 63566 if you want to weigh in on the union discussion. And we will get to those texts as they come in.
Barry's
GE. Lost.
Well, you guys make me do way too much work for a guy my age.
Yes, I know.
GE not having a great quarter. Their stock is down. I noticed. I was looking at it earlier. They burned a lot more cash, and they're having troubles with their jet engine unit.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question is how quickly does demand for jet engines rebound? We've seen some pretty big sales on the part of Boeing. And, you know, GE stock has recovered pretty substantially. It got as low as, you know, $5.50 a share during the pandemic as, you know, demand for these things just fell off a cliff. Now up to $13 a share. But I remain of the opinion that GE really has a lot to prove that they can actually turn around this business. And I also really wonder, do they get to the point where they oversell off? You know, so what I mean by that is they just completed the $30 billion sale of their jet leasing business to Ireland's AerCap Holdings. It's really the last piece of the GE Capital business, which completely sank them during the Great Recession. The pendulum tends to swing on these things. I think it's a very easy argument to say that GE started doing way too much. They tried to be experts in everything in terms of, did everything but nothing really, really well, and now they are trying to do just one or two things incredibly well and build their company on that. And we'll see if they can. But, you know, my sense would be that, hey, if your goal is to build the best jet engine manufacturer in the world, that having a jet leasing business might actually be pretty helpful when it comes to selling those things. So I do question whether they get to the point where they sell off more of their business than they actually should. You know, we will see. I do very much believe that, you know, the demand for jet engines and demand for travel is going to bounce back in a very serious way pretty rapidly. Whether or not that will benefit GE enough to really turn them around, I think, is a continued question. This is a company that has a lot to prove in my book.
The SBA will begin accepting applications on May 3rd for a $29 billion grant program. These aren't loans. These are grants aimed at boosting the restaurant industry. Well, if there's an industry that needs help, it's the restaurant industry.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's plenty of people that operate other businesses, salons, and you know, dozens of other types of companies that you know, could use these funds too. But I don't know. I am in favor of this type of support. Restaurants and bars can apply for funding basically equal to the amount of money that they lost due to the pandemic. I don't know exactly how that is calculated. I'm guessing it's using your 2019 revenue. I will be interested to hear too, you know, how does a company that just opened up in January or February of 2020 apply for this type of money? What are they eligible for? Can they
and
receive
what does a company
anything?
Do if they've closed their doors?
What does
you
a company
know, like,
do?
Let's
if
say
they...
you went bankrupt. How many restaurants do we personally know of that permanently shuttered their doors? They're probably not eligible at all.
No, yeah. Probably not. And more than 110,000 bars and restaurants closed at least temporarily during the pandemic. How many of those permanently went out of business? I don't know. The piece that I like about this, public companies are not eligible to apply. I don't think they should be eligible to apply. Chipotle, Darden Restaurants has plenty of access to capital funding. They do not need this money, and I'm glad that they, you know, kept them out of it. There's $29 billion up for grabs here. What I keep hearing from restaurants is that they can't find employees. And my answer is that you can't find employees because you're not paying enough right now. And that was problematic because, you know, these companies, these restaurants, you know, in a normal situation, I would just say bump up your prices and, you know, hire those people for a higher wage. But there's literally no cash on the books to be able to do that in some cases. And this funding, I think, could actually go ahead and do that, allow these companies to reopen.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, and a lot of the workers, Michael, they want to be paid under the table, you know, regardless of the wage, you know, because they're collecting, you know, $900 a week from Massachusetts or $700 a week from Massachusetts or whatever state they're in. They don't want to go back, right? Why give that up? They want cash and they want those unemployment benefits. Up next, we'll tell you who won our trivia contest. In addition to that, DoorDash is going to allow restaurants to choose their own commission structure. I really like this idea. That's our next topic on the Financial Exchange.
The Financial Exchange is live on Facebook, so make sure to like our page and watch the guys break down the latest on the markets every day beginning at 10 on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Financial news, business news, entertainment. If you don't think they all go together, you need to listen to our brand new podcast called Dumb Questions for Smart Money, presented by the Financial Exchange Radio Network. Subscribe today on Apple, Spotify, and all your favorite podcast apps.
Pink Floyd's The Dark Side of the Moon is regarded as one of the best albums ever released, and it proved to be a major success in sales. Between 1973 and 1988, the album spent nearly 750 consecutive weeks on the Billboard chart, and as of 2021, it has spent a record-breaking 958 total weeks on the charts. That is, like, unbelievable.
And Chris from Enfield, Connecticut, knew the answer and is our winner today, taking home a $50 gas card and, importantly in my mind at least, registered to win the pair of round-trip tickets to Nantucket on Southern Airways Express. We'll be giving those away this Friday. Trivia is brought to you by Southern Airways Express. Flights to Nantucket resume on May 26th with a brand-new schedule from Hanscom Field. Take the easy route to Nantucket. Fly Southern Airways Express from Norwood, Providence, New Bedford, and now Hanscom Field off 95. fast flights, low fares. Book today at iFlySouthern.com. And congrats again to Chris from Enfield. Tune in Friday to see who wins the tickets.
Very good. Let's talk about DoorDash. Did you see this story about how they're letting their restaurants kind of pick from a menu of commission structures? I really like this idea.
I don't know. It seems to me like you're putting lipstick on a pig.
Oh, come on now. Let's define it first, and then we can disagree.
Sure. So DoorDash, the food delivery company, traditionally had basically one price for, for its smaller companies, it was you pay 30% of your orders that get delivered, every order, 30% haircut, plus the customer pays a delivery fee. That was their business model. Now, some of the bigger companies, Chipotle, for instance, if you ordered them on DoorDash, they might have only been paying a 15 or 20% commission because they could negotiate and with scale and come to a better price agreement. And again, the reason that you would pay to be on one of these things is because somebody who uses DoorDash wouldn't find your restaurant with that if you're not on the application, right? You might offer delivery on your own website, but if you're not on DoorDash, then you're not going to get that DoorDash customer. And so what DoorDash is doing here is saying, okay, we're going to have three different price levels, 15, 25, or 30%. And with those different price levels, you'll get different services, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you get marketing support and product support and a bunch of feedback on, hey, your chicken wings are 30% more expensive, or maybe more importantly, 30% cheaper than all your competitors. Raise your prices because the market will bear it if you pay that 30% fee, but you might not get that at 15%. The real big thing, I think, is if you're paying that 15%, it's going to be next to impossible to find your restaurant in the app.
Well, but a lot of people, like when you use an app like that, don't you already know where you're going to go and what you're going to buy?
No, I mean, the only reason that I used that app in the first place was I was having a tough time deciding what to eat. So I would go on there and try and find, okay, like, what's out there, give me ideas for where to eat, not because, because if I want to go order from a specific restaurant, I'm just going to call the restaurant.
Oh, I see. See, yeah, okay.
I don't know.
See, I like the idea because I thought, let's say you have your favorite Italian restaurant and, they're booming anyways with business. You're saying that people are calling those restaurants directly and circumventing the DoorDash app altogether, and that whether it's DoorDash or Uber, they're at least getting that order.
That's my usage of the application. Mm-hmm. I've used it in the past when if I'm not doing delivery, then I don't use any of these apps. If I'm doing takeout, I don't use any of these apps to begin with. And so that's my starting point. And, my sense is that, if you know where you're going to order from, you go to that business's website, because what's the point in going to one of these applications if you already know where you want to be? Now, maybe you have point. If these companies started offering, and maybe they already do to some extent, but I don't think it's significant. If they started offering rewards points, order from this one app over and over and over again, and like a credit card, you'll start earning some sort of miles and credits, then I think that does compound it. But what I come to is, look, if these businesses can't make money at the 30% commission rate, which, they barely struggled to do so during the pandemic, I just don't think it's a good business model. I just don't see it as being successful long term.
Well, but then from a restaurant owner's perspective, right, they're getting all this additional business at, they must recognize too that, I'm paying DoorDash 30%, but they're still losing money. So I obviously couldn't do it on my own. And they don't have to participate in DoorDash, right? It's optional.
They don't. Yeah, I mean, I think where DoorDash can be successful is with the idea of these ghost kitchens that keep popping up all over the place.
You talk about the Travis Kalanick idea?
That idea, and, that's not the only one. But the idea is that there's these restaurants that are not built for dine-in dining. I mean, like a Domino's, right? I mean, when you go to do Domino's, you're not sitting down to eat there by and large. Most of them don't even have seating for you to dine in. And so if you're building a restaurant that is specifically designed for that, then I think that one of these apps can work for your business. If you have all the overhead of running a restaurant and then you're also trying to deal with this, I don't see it as a really big winning model. I think, maybe what you do is you sign up for one of these platforms and pay the 30% if you're a brand new restaurant that's trying to get your name out there and you know, build up a user base, then it might make sense. But I can't imagine building a dine-in restaurant that would pay a third of its revenue out every order and making that a successful business model long term. Maybe I'm missing something on the numbers here, but unless you are specifically, you know, if you're a pizza place that only does takeout and delivery, sure. If you're an Italian restaurant that makes all their money on the alcohol sales, is this ever going to be profitable for you? I don't know. I don't see it. Folks, spring is here. Warm weather's coming. It's a great time to be outside. It means more physical activity, you know, after a nice long run or a game of golf. There's no better way to quench your thirst when you get back to your home or office than with an ice-cold glass of water. Do what we did here at the Financial Exchange and call Stony Brook Water. Their new Ion coolers are simply fantastic. We had one installed several months ago, and our team could not be happier. Each glass of water is the purest, freshest you've ever tasted, and ours comes with a sparkling water option, which I'm drinking, you know, sitting on my desk as we speak. Call Stony Brook today at 978-381-1476 and learn more about how you can get one of these great coolers for your business. Call and place an order by April 30th and you'll receive a 20% discount on installation. Fresh drinking water is extremely important to maintaining a healthy lifestyle, and that's why we called Stony Brook Water. They're simply the best at what they do. Call 978-381-1476. And again, as you're reopening your office or your business and looking to, you know, make a better workplace, if you order by April 30th, you'll get a 20% discount on your installation. That's 978-381-1476, or visit them online at stonybrookwater.com.
Lyft has agreed to sell their autonomous driving unit to Toyota, and I'm trying to figure out why Lyft would do this, Michael, because they've acknowledged, as has Uber, that they are reliant on autonomous driving cars in order to make any money.
I think they realized what Uber did, which is this was a really interesting idea that they could afford to put seed money into, but building it out and continue to expand it is going to require far more investment than they could possibly afford. So partnering with a Toyota, you know, it's going to be strategic to their business, but I think what they are all recognizing, because Uber sold off theirs as well. I don't remember who it was to, but they sold off their self-driving car unit. And I think what they realize is that this is a really interesting technology that's going to be critical to our business if we ever want to make a long-term sustained profit. And we can't afford to be the ones to develop it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So partnering with Toyota here, who seems to be pretty far behind in terms of both electric vehicles as well as self-driving technology, right? When I compare them to GM or Volkswagen, certainly to Tesla, they're playing catch up here, which is surprising to me because they really were the leaders in the hybrid car market, right? The Prius was out, like 5 years before pretty much any other hybrid electric vehicle. But you know, partnering with company with deeper pockets, I think, makes sense if you're Lyft, because you might have all the cars on the road, but you do not have the cash flow to be able to invest, you know, billions of more dollars in R&D right now.
A text out of the 860, just circling back to the DoorDashes of the world. Barry, Uber has a rewards program, but as a part-time driver, believe me, people are addicted to quick delivery with no cash exchange. I think that they made the new fast food craze. That's Uber Eats.
See, I don't use the food home delivery for food, just because if I'm going to order food from a restaurant, I'm going to go to the restaurant and enjoy the restaurant. Like, I can make a better meal at home than I can order from a restaurant. By the time it gets
I've
there,
I've tasted your cooking. No, you can't.
No. don't you think it loses quite a bit when it gets delivered?
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't want to order a burger and fries. Like, that's going to lose a lot of its value. But there are plenty of foods that I rather enjoy takeout. And yeah, you're a almost retired guy with no kids around. So, of course, you want to go out to the restaurant. I would love to go out to the restaurant, too. But I got three kids and, two working parents at home. And so the delivery and the takeout is very attractive to us. I'm frankly shocked that we only do it like one day a week.
All right, let's talk about shopping malls. When was the last time you guys, either of you, were in a shopping mall? Because apparently vaccinated shoppers are returning to the malls.
About a decade before the pandemic, I guess.
You know, I haven't been to a mall lately, but I've been to Dick's Sporting Goods twice in the past month. And I got to admit, found myself browsing. I was there for almost an hour.
So I totally buy into the idea that there's going to be a surge, a rush on the shopping malls here, and there's already been a little bit of one. I think there's going to be a lot of that demand. But does anyone really think this is permanent? Like, is anybody of the opinion that 5 years from now, these shopping malls are going to be in such better financial health than they were 5 years ago that they're not going to continue to go out of business? Because that seems just illogical to me.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about the gradual transformation before the pandemic, right? The malls were going to gradually transform into housing and into warehouses and into hockey rinks and, you know, different types of medical facilities. We saw that on Route 9. Remember the old the mall opposite Chestnut Hill Mall?
Yep.
That turned into a medical
facility. Yeah, so I don't know. I cannot envision a scenario where a pandemic that taught everyone how to shop online is going to be the savior of shopping malls. Temporary lift? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm misreading the tea leaves here, but we all learned how to shop online during the pandemic. We're all desperate to get back and socialize and probably do some in-store shopping again. And yeah, that could lead to a 6 month to 2 year boost to these shopping malls.
Mm-hmm.
Long term, they've got the same problems.
Right.
They got the exact same problems long term.
Right. Hey, up next, we'll be joined by Mark Schaefer, Certified Financial Planner for Financial Planning Tuesday on the Financial Exchange.
For the most comprehensive coverage of the economy and the trends on Wall Street, keep it right here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network. There are many priorities to consider when creating an estate plan, and one of the most important is protecting your family's assets. How and when to leave assets to your beneficiaries is a more complicated process than you think. So don't make snap decisions or take chances that could affect you for generations to come. Learn what you need to know in Todd Lutsky's brand new guide, which is available now. It's called How to Leave Assets to Your Beneficiaries. And in it, he'll discuss several strategies that can help you make the right decision at the appropriate time. There's a new federal estate tax exemption of nearly $12 million. That could lead to a larger inheritance for your family members. But don't celebrate just yet. Call 866-848-5699 and get your free guide today. Avoid unnecessary mistakes that can be extremely costly if you aren't careful. Todd is an expert in elder law and taxation, and he's been helping families like yours with their estate planning needs for more than 30 years. Call right now. 866-848-5699. Again, that's 866-848-5699. Or download the guide from his website, LegalExchangeShow.com. Join our text club by texting the word Barry to 63566. Send your first and last name and get involved today. You're listening to the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Financial Exchange is a proud partner of the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts, and we're looking forward to this year's virtual 5K, which is set for Saturday, November 6th. Please visit financialexchangeshow.com/DAV to learn how you, too, can support our great American heroes. We're joined now by Mark Schaefer for a little bit of Financial Planning Tuesday. Mark Schaefer is a certified financial planner with the Armstrong Advisory Group. And, Mark, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Misconceptions about financial literacy in general, but credit is one of those areas that I find that people just don't have a real good sense of how a lot of these things work. Can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, how to best utilize credit and, you know, some of the big red flags that are out there? I guess let's start off with just your credit report versus your credit score. If people aren't aware, what is the difference and how do you access one versus the other?
Absolutely. They're completely different. So your credit report just shows you what credit cards you have, if you have a mortgage, if you've paid it on time, but it doesn't have a number. It's not a score. So you definitely want to get your credit reports. There are three credit reporting agencies. There's Experian, there's Equifax, there's TransUnion. But if you just go to one website, freecreditreport.com, you can pull all three of your credit reports from the three different credit reporting agencies and check its accuracy. There might be something on there that is not yours. Maybe there was a typo from a mortgage company, typed in the wrong Social Security number by accident, and it showed up on your credit report that you're not paying your mortgage. Well, it's not your mortgage. So definitely get that to look at. The other thing you want to do is look at your credit score, which will affect potentially what you will pay in interest rates. A good credit score, you pay lower interest rates. A bad credit score, you know, you would pay higher interest rates. And, you know, there's a number of different places you go. One place you could go is creditkarma.com. That's CreditKarma, creditkarma.com. And you can find out what your score is. And it ranges from 300 to 850. You're really over 700 is considered good. Over 750 is considered excellent. Anything under that, you're going to be paying higher interest rates on credit cards, mortgages, and believe it or not, even your car insurance premiums. Insurance companies look at your credit score and reports to make sure that you're going to pay on time.
And you can get a copy of that credit score too, pretty much any time you apply using your credit. So if you're refinancing a mortgage or, you know, applying for that auto loan, they send you a copy of that score automatically. What sort of things can impact that score? I mean, a lot of folks think that income can do it. You know, would closing a credit card, for instance, help out my credit score?
It would actually probably hurt your credit score.
Yeah.
So there was a credit card insider did a survey of 2,000 adults just last month. And it's funny you mentioned that, Michael, is that 66% of respondents thought that income was a factor of your credit score, and it isn't. The two main factors are you paying on time? Your payment history.
Mm-hmm.
Have you paid your bills on time? The number two thing that affects your credit score is your credit usage, meaning you should not have more than 30% of your credit available actually used. What does that mean? Well, if I have a $10,000 credit limit on my credit card and I have $3,000 outstanding that I've used, that's a 30% usage rate. So if I have two credit cards, $5,000 each, I got $3,000 on one of them, that's 30% credit usage. The other one has a zero balance. Hey, I got no balance. I'm not using. I'm going to close it. Well, now I only have $5,000 credit. I've used $3,000 on it. That's a 60% usage. There goes my credit score down. There goes my interest rates up.
Mark Schaefer, CFP with the Armstrong Advisory Group, joining us to talk about Financial Planning Tuesday and credit utilization and what can impact that credit score. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
I didn't know that one about the credit utilization. You know, the 30% rule?
Yeah. I found that the hard way. I mean, I was paying my credit card off every single month, but I was using, you know, most of the credit limit on there because, again, you know, I put everything on my credit card until I realized that, yeah, you can actually damage your score by doing that.
Markets are flat this morning. The S&P's down a fraction of a point. The Dow's down 17 points. NASDAQ is off 21 points. Price of crude oil is up 50 cents a barrel. Gold is down 20 cents an ounce, 1779. Euro's at 120. 10-year Treasury note, 159. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when we saw it hovering up around 175, 180, so that's okay. Bitcoin up $1,400 a coin at $55,000 a coin. The Financial Exchange will return tomorrow with another edition featuring Chuck Zotta and me, Barry Armstrong. See you tomorrow, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.